Good morning. It's so wonderful to be able to be with you. And I think I say this every year, but when I'm in Nicaragua, I'm not able to have services like this. It's a different culture. The pastors tend to scream a lot. It's hard for me to fit that into my Lutheran ways. So it is such a pleasure to be able to be with my community and to worship together. It is indeed a privilege. Well, as you know, I have been serving in Nicaragua. I left in 2003, and I've been there for 11 and a half years now. Okay. And one of the things that I have discovered is joy in service. I think like most people, when you go to do something like that, when you go to do outreach, you have your plan of how you're going to use your gift to help these people. And a lot of it seems to revolve around you. And the more you do it, the more humbled you become and you realize that you need to just get out of the way. This is not about you. And I've been able to learn that in Nicaragua. People go, my, some of your ideas are so creative and they use the resources so well. And I'm going, sometimes they pray about it at night and in the morning, I've got answers. And I'd like to say they were my own brilliance, but it is not the case. Sometimes I feel like I'm hanging on because this whole mission seems to have a power that goes way beyond me. So when we talk about joy, it's different from what we call fun or happiness. You know, we're not necessarily a room without a roof. But what we are is, with happiness, it is pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with happiness. There's, you know, having fun is a healthy balance for Christians. But when we talk of joy, it's something altogether different because it's in reference to relationship. When you have joy, it's because you have shared something significant. Now, that might be you're sharing with God or you're sharing with your fellow man, but it is something that's done in community. And that's one of the things that I've found in my work there, how much joy it gives me to be able to do it, and what a privilege it is to be able to do that. Nicaragua is where I serve. Nicaragua, if you kind of know your geography, there's North America and South America, and there's this little tract of land in between Central America. Nicaragua's right in the middle. And one of the things about Nicaragua is that it's quite impoverished. Other than Haiti, it's the most impoverished nation in the Northern Hemisphere. So that's one of the things that we try to deal with. Now, some of it's history of war, some of it's, you know, political turmoil, some of it's natural disasters, some of it's corruption. All of this has helped to put it in the situation it is. But we get to try to work with that. Where the arrow is where the project is located, and we're blessed to be in the ocean, and my backyard is literally a sand beach. So I am very blessed with that, and it has helped carry me in those times that are difficult, and it also makes it a nice balanced place for people when they come down to do service, that yes, we work very, very hard. But we also have joy in God's surroundings. When we hear Paul talk about what it is that we're meant to do, it is to empower through love. And that is what Circle of Empowerment is about. Now, I know that many of the people here like to call it Meg's Mission, and I think that started with Pastor Jerry. But it has nothing to do with me. I am just one who's going to serve. And this is a whole lot larger than me. We have people here that help with our mission project, members of Grace. It isn't just Meg by any means. We have our treasurer is Ed Eckert, who helps us with our financial things. Our secretary, Jeannie Dries, about as faithful as they come, and soon to be president. We have John Eifert, and he is helping us write grants so that we can fund some of the projects. We have Joan Tuttle, and she helps us with writing notes and is just a really good board member who just chips in when she can, and we hope she's going to be the coming secretary. We have some new people on the board, Pat Murak, and he is going to be, we hope, program chairing. So we have a lot of good people from Grace, and we have people outside of Grace. About half of the board comes from other locations. They might be friends, they might be people who've seen the project or heard about the project and decided to get involved. Our president for the last 5 years has been Kelly Marie Lyons, and she's done wonderful stuff, given up her time greatly. And now, as she's going through a master's in others' education, she needs to step down. But we are completely blessed with the people that we have. So I'm going to ask Grace to change it from Meg's mission to Circle of Empowerment. And it actually has been officially that for a long time. It's just that we get comfortable with what we know. But it's so much more than me. And not only my people here, but the people in Nicaragua. They are going to carry on this project when I'm no longer able to serve in that capacity. We spent 10 years training them. And we have this circle of incredible people who lead with love, who know what it is that's center, which is Christ. We need to be a Christ-centered organization. We need to be more than just a bunch of pretty programs that produce, although we do that, but we're more. We do more with our love than we could do with any amount of programming. When we talk about Paul, you know, here he is, and he's in prison, and he's talking about joy. And basically, he says, for your progress and joy in the faith. Now, this is at a time when the people are being persecuted. You know, Paul wasn't just in jail. You know, he got 30 lashes. I mean, we're talking about really difficult things to go through. People at that time suffered for their faith. They were persecuted. And that still exists today. We don't hear as much about it, but it still does exist in the world today where people are persecuted for their faith. And sometimes as Christians, it's hard for us to even comprehend that. For me, I had just a little teeny sliver of that this year. And I basically was being a person to advocate for a 7-year-old child who was sexually abused. And in that advocacy, I created some enemies. At one point, I went to a meeting of the women, and all the meeting were the women that were sitting around, and three of them were carrying guns. And I'm like, excuse me? And I said, this isn't usual. Finally, I was able to get them to say, he said he was going to come here and shoot you. That's why we're carrying guns. And it was like, I wish I could have acted like Paul, just all nice and brave and sure in the Lord, but it didn't quite work that way. You know, we're not chosen for our quality. We're not chosen because we are so good. We're chosen because God has mercy. God picked Paul, who persecuted the Christians. And he picked me, who, I remember one year it was Thursday service, and they called me at the last second and said, okay, service has already started, and you're due to get the sermon. I'm like, oh, I'll be right there. So I am not that talented of a person. It's not about me. But Christ is able to use each and every one of us, even with our flaws, and we all have them. But here is Paul in that prison. And yet, when I was faced with that, my immediate reaction was denial. And then after a while, I'm like, how dare they? How dare they try to kill me when I'm trying to do good? I mean, this is just ridiculous. This is just not acceptable. And I thought about that and prayed about that. And Jesus said, hello? Look what they did to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. So by the time I was able to finish, I realized that it was in God's hands. And if for some reason I really was killed, which the chances were very, very slim that the person would follow through, but maybe I would do more with my death for violence than I could do in a whole lifetime. And so be it, if that's what God intended. So when we're when we're in the world, we're not supposed to be of the world. And boy, that's a hard one to get, because what we're supposed to be doing here is to look at that. It isn't the earn your own way kind of redemption. And we saw that in the gospel today. He gave everybody the same wage, even those who slipped in at the last hour. And thank heavens, because we are broken people, and we are meant to not earn our own salvation, but to accept our salvation is given, and it's given with unbelievable, unconditional love. In accepting that, you can't help but be joyful, and Christians should be. We should be joyful because we have been given so much. We should be people to reach out to those who are marginalized in our society, to those who are broken. We should be inviting not the typical 2.5 family to come with us to church, but for the people that we know who are struggling, who are hurting. Look at Christ. He reached out to the taxpayers, to the prostitutes. It is not for us to judge others. It's for us to open our arms and to love. So this is a little bit of the reality there. And a lot of times you see the kids nice and scrubbed up and neat. But this is kind of more what the reality in Nicaragua is. This is a house that's probably 7 feet by 3 feet, and three people live in that house. This is the house of one of the children who's supported by our program. Now, I know you usually see them in their nice white shirts and they look all cleaned up, but this is the reality of what people there live with. And the world is full of suffering. Helen Keller said, the world is full of suffering, but it's also full of overcoming it. And that's one of the things that I've learned. I see so much hope. The longer I work with these people, the more suffering I see, the more courage that I see, the more love that I see. And it is incredible. After 11 years of doing this as a volunteer, I'm as enthusiastic, if not more so, than I was the first day. And that is a privilege. So we see that, but then we see Axel. This is one of our kids who comes from that kind of a background. And you see him scrubbed up and in this nice white shirt, but with hope. Now, we can do that with our programming, but unless your programming has love, unless you love these people, you do not see the transformation. It's only with the love you can see this transformation. And you see the hope in his eyes. When we see this little child, Jose, he's climbing up on a piece of garbage because they have no chairs. He has no shoes. And the ants are biting him. I mean, those are tough things to see. And what do we like to do when we see suffering is we like to look the other way. But you are part of overcoming suffering, of making new starts for these people. And what we do with that is we lift them up. And that's where Christ comes in. It comes in with our love to lift these people, to make this joyous for those that receive and those that give, because it's both ways. When we're a circle of empowerment, yes, We empower those people in Nicaragua through our gifts, but they empower us right back. They empower us by letting us know what the values of life are and how to live with courage and how to live with a little and yet be joyous. When they turn on that switch and a light actually goes on, they're delighted. They are like, thank you, God. But here, what happens if the TV goes out in the middle of the Packer game? Probably not a whole lot of thank you, God. And that's kind of because we think the reason that we have that is because we pay our bill. You know, we live in enough comfort and enough earned ability that we can just kind of leave Christ out of the picture. Where these people thank God for their every meal because it isn't a sure thing. They didn't know if they would have it. And so I have learned so much. They have humbled me so much. When we end up feeling overwhelmed, when I first got there, this is one of my pictures, and you can see almost all the kids have bare feet. They're dirty. Most of them are in their underwear or pants. Most of them have swollen bellies with parasites. But we've made progress. And we've made progress, as I said, not just because of the programming, but the programming is important. But we've made progress because that programming is administered with love. This is one of the transformations that I wanted to show you. This is a young girl. When we first met her about 5 years ago, she was in her hut in the back. She was a disabled child. They were ashamed. Her hair was not combed. She was not cleaned. She wore rags. And we started working with her. And she now walks. So this is her 5 years later. And she is sitting in her chair. She's walking. She has her toenails, each painted a different color. There's a sense of pride. There's a sense of dignity. And how does that happen? Only one way, love. Love is the only thing that will do that. So I have seen that transformation, and it is much greater than I. This is our group from Concordia College. They're doing physical therapy on our disabled children. We run into more every time, quote, by accident. We happen to go someplace and it's the wrong house and we find this disabled girl. This little girl on the right, Helen, she has no thigh on her one side. But we're going to have some prosthesis made for her so she can walk more easily. But we lay on our hands. We get to touch and heal people. It's a wonderful thing. This is our clinic. Our clinic has served us well and continues to. When we first got there, 4 children, preschool children, died every year of pneumonia. Just of pneumonia. For lack of 250 in medication. In the 11 years that my clinic has been up and my brigadistas are going, we have not lost one child to pneumonia. That is 44 kids. These are our students. We started with 5 kids on sponsorship. Now we're up to 179, Jeannie, right? Okay, so I got a little carried away this year. So we still do have a few that can use sponsor, but it makes such a huge difference in these kids' lives. This is our bus. It's not behaved itself really well in the last year. We're in the process of trying to get it up and running solidly again, but it has been such a blessing. The first bus I helped drive down with 2 other people from Milwaukee to Nicaragua, which was interesting. We were only held hostage for about 6 hours. It was definitely an experience. But the bus has made all the difference because it helps the kids get to the education that they need. This is one of our disabled kids, Hennessy. And not only is Hennessy one of our original, they said, would never walk. She is walking now, and she's going to school. 4 years ago, there was only one disabled child in our entire school system. Now we have about eight. Kids with disabilities just didn't go to school. But those are changes that we've seen. This is an elderly woman that we have been working with. And we're going to do an outreach program with the geriatric population because living in the conditions of the third world, in these shacks, without clean water, without, you know, grab bars and things, is very dangerous. Many times it's a lack of education, knowing their meds and being compliant with it. But it's an area that we feel that we can make some major differences in. This lady, because she had a stroke, lived in the same 10-foot by 10-foot area for 2 full months. And we got a wheelchair, and actually the wheelchair was donated by one of her neighbors. So it created, again, those ties in the community. And she got outside, and she said, "It's the sky, it's the birds, it's the flowers," and she was in tears. It was indeed very beautiful to see. And this is some of our economic development. This is an elderly family that used to be bakers. And the community got together and we built them an oven so they can continue to bake. He has some real health problems and he might not be here in a year. But the son is starting to learn the mechanisms of baking and at least we know that this family will be provided for. This is another one of our economic development. This is the sale of paper jewelry. And it helps support some widows in our community that have no other source of income. So it's, again, you know, it's like give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish and you can feed him for a lifetime. But then we have to take that one step further and make some room at the pond so that they have an opportunity to fish. These are some of the people that make this happen. This is my Nicaraguan team. And I have been basically educating and honing and mothering and developing this team for 10 years. And on your left-hand side is Milagro. She's the one that runs the clinic. She's graduating from the university with her bachelor's degree in nursing. And she's taking over the clinic. The three in the middle are three of my brigadistas, which are healthcare workers that make a huge difference in our community. They're the reasons we don't have dead children. And specifically, Heisel, which is the first one, she is still raising her child but will be going to nursing school probably in 2 more years. The one in the middle, Jasmine, she has already earned her LPN degree, and now she's going back for her bachelor's degree. And on the right-hand side, we have Eliezer. We do have male healthcare workers, and he is studying to become a minister. And on the right-hand side, we have our community nurse, which is an integral part of our work there. This is one of our other future leaders, and we have 15 girls and 15 boys that we have raised as community leaders and are continuing to put time and effort into their education. If you will see the youth room, all the way along in the youth room are these pictures that they have drawn that says, "What does a leader mean to me?" And we have copies of those in card form. And it's the explanation. One has a man standing with a briefcase, and the other side there's a man with a machete. And it's like one works by the sweat of his brow, and the other has a nice office. And the difference? Education. So it's starting to get at those causes of what makes a leader, what you have to do to become a leader, in a leader that's clean, a leader that's there for their community. So she is one of our high school students. Almost all of our teachers in our Saturday class are high school students that we provided for when they were in grade school, and now they are giving back. We don't have any shortage of teachers. We have youth that want to give back. We have youth that are training to be better in the future. This is some of our boys who are in leadership. and that's Jose Ezequiel in the blue there. He moved out of our villages, and we weren't sure if we should continue to sponsor him or not. He walked 7 miles in order to get to our Saturday sponsorship class. Okay. He has to walk, then get on a bus, and then he has to walk again. He usually uses his breakfast money in order to take the bus. So he comes to us after walking that 7 miles with no breakfast, which we usually end up giving him breakfast. But this kid comes from one of the most dysfunctional families we have, and yet there is such hope. He ends up, we had the teacher of that class not show up for 3 weeks. So what happened is, as a sixth grader, he got up and taught the class. Those are the kind of hope that we're raising for the future. Okay, why is there a thing? Because we all need a little push sometimes. But when we work together, and this is our truck stalling out, and we have the locals pushing along with the Concordia staff or whatever. But when we work together, what this represents is we can even push a truck uphill. And basically that's what we do sometimes. So why the whale? Because we need to dive in. We need to dive into following Christ, to trying to follow in his footsteps. We need to go out and to reach those who are minimalized and bring them in and give them hope that the last will be first. So that's my yard. So those who might come down, and I hope to get a delegation from Grace this year coming down, because I think it's important. It's important to be part of that service. I was glad to see that the youth, you know, and the service projects you had at the beginning of the month, I'm glad to see that idea of service. Just we'll do whatever we need to serve, because that is how you get closer to God, by saying thank you, by serving your fellow man. And you're a huge part of that, and thank you.
Let's thank Meg.